Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
November is predicted to see an increase in fuel prices following 5 months of consecutive reductions. And to talk to us a little bit more about the picture, especially as it relates to the fuel price, that is Koketso Mano, who is a senior economist at FNB. Koketso, thank you so much for your time. I can imagine a lot of consumers not quite happy. Nobody likes to see price hikes, especially related to fuel. So talk to me about what's driving these hikes that we're expecting to see.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me, and hello to all of your listeners. So what was the major driver of this fuel price increase that we had in November is your oil prices. So, you know, in the month of October, you would have seen that oil prices did trend upwards. It is mostly a feature of, you know, the geopolitical tensions that are still unfolding in the Middle East and how that could potentially affect oil supply. So it seems as though the markets were really reacting to that, and we had higher oil prices. The rand, on the other hand, really mitigated, you know, the impact that the oil prices had on the increase that we're now seeing at the pump. But yes, consumers are going to feel, you know, the fact that you're paying more at the pump. It's not a lot. 25 cents is better than, you know, the 1 rand, 2 rand increases that would have experienced, you know, in 2022, 2023. But yes, on a month-on-month basis, it is still some pressure.
In those periods, 2022, 2023, I mean, what was happening globally that got us to a point where we were seeing those increases in the rand? I mean, not in the rand, in the petrol price. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you remember in February of 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. And Russia being one of the, you know, the large suppliers of oil globally, it did affect oil prices. It also came at a time when we were still grappling with the supply demand imbalances that were created by the opening up or the lifting of lockdowns rather. So demand picked up relatively strongly, but at the same time we were still dealing with frictions. At ports, for example, some countries had lockdowns lifted faster than others. So you had this supply friction. And as a result of that, we just had higher oil prices and higher inflation over 2022, 2023. But I have to stress that, you know, even with this 25 cents increase in fuel prices this month, when you compare prices, the level of prices that in November of 2024 compared to November of 2023, you still see that price is still much lower than what we had last year.
The one thing you mention in your note, and it reads, despite this, prices have not been able to surpass the $75 per barrel mark, indicating a certain level of stability in the market. I mean, if you look at where we are right now and I look at my screen and have a look at where, you know, Brent is, it's 75.78. When we look at that mark, what would indicate instability for you? How high would we need to go for you to start worrying?
Yeah. And maybe just to clarify, so in that note, we say that prices have not been able to breach $75 per barrel sustainably, right? So we did see in October that prices did breach that that level, but it didn't do so on a sustained basis. So what we're seeing over the forecast period, at least for the remainder of this year, is that you're probably going to see oil prices range bound. You know, some estimates say between 75 and 80. It could be between 70 and 80. So what's really driving that volatility within that range is, you know, the geopolitical tensions and how the markets are reacting to that. And the reason you are seeing that relative stability, given the range that is because, you know, we are dealing with a market that is finely balanced. So if you think about it from a demand and supply perspective, so on the demand side, you are still grappling with weak economic activity globally, right? So you're seeing a recovery with lower interest rates, for example, but that recovery is still unfolding. Say, for example, in South Africa, we only had our first cut in September. We potentially have another one at the end of this month, but you only will start to see, you know, demand starting to recover relatively slowly in response to that. So demand remains a problem. When you think about your large demanders for oil products like China, for example, that country is also still dealing with sluggish growth. So they are trying to implement stimulus fiscal and monetary policy to try and stimulate demand in that economy. If that materializes, you could see, for example, oil prices increasing. But on the supply side, you also have this dynamic where you would have remembered that in the past few days or weeks, rather, OPEC has been delaying its increase of oil production or oil supply. So that has been in response of them looking at the numbers and realizing that demand is just not picking up as quickly as they anticipated. So they've had to delay the increase of supply, because if they were to add supply in the sluggish demand environment, what you would get is that oil prices would experience further downward pressure. So these are just some of the dynamics that are playing out. We are also seeing that a higher oil price does introduce or an incentive for your producers with higher costs to come into the market. So it's a finely balanced market here. So when you think about the fundamentals, you understand why oil prices are not shooting above $90 per barrel right now, even with escalated geopolitical tensions.
You brought up the topic of China, and it's all we've been talking about apart from elections and everything else, interest rates, the Fed. We come up to the topic of China. When you're sitting with your team of economists within FNB, what is the discussion around China's stimulus efforts so far?
Yes, yeah, so far it has been more around where are the details, right? So on the 7th of November, which is Thursday, hopefully we'll get a bit more detail on exactly how they plan on implementing the stimulus. A lot of suspicion is that it would be towards local government. So try to free up some of that lack of confidence, should I call it, within the property sector, trying to make sure that you stimulate a little bit on that property side of things, because it is quite a large weight in terms of their GDP. We know that the pressure is mostly on the local government, so hopefully there'll be stimulus coming through there. There has been earlier, if you remember, monetary policy has been making small cuts to interest rates, introducing incentives for example, second-time home buyers. So they have been trying to stimulate demand within the consumer spectrum, but it just doesn't seem to have been enough so far. So I think given that we are reaching the end of the year, they do have a growth target that they'd like to meet, which is about 5%. It does not seem as though they're going to meet it unless they really implement strong stimulus policy in order to drive growth, at least in the last part of the year.
And will that strong stimulus be, dependent on what happens with the election outcome? Do you think that they're saving some of that firepower to see where things go in the US?
It is a very strong possibility. I mean, policy will be influenced or affected by what happens or the election outcome in the US. We know that, unfortunately, trade spats, lack of trade cooperation is starting to build momentum again. The IMF in their July report already had started to talk about, trade distorting policy measures that have been implemented. It's especially since the lockdowns, those that have been affecting foreign business interest, whether it be investigations into, anti-competitive behavior, whether it is, trade restrictions at the ports, import duties and so forth. So we are seeing a buildup of that. And unfortunately, China has gotten the brunt of it all, a lot of the brunt, if you think about EV, electric vehicles, for example. So they will be looking at, who's the winner of the elections and exactly what they can look forward to in terms of further policy restrictions that do affect their business interests in the West, for example. For example, Trump has already mentioned that would be something that he's looking into. He did it in the first in his first presidency, and it's probably going to happen again this time around. So China really has to think about the external environment not being as positive for their growth dynamic as it would have been, say, for example, over the past few years as we were building up after the lockdowns. So if they don't have a very supportive external environment, and also at the same time, the domestic economy is not picking up the steam that they are trying to get it to pick up, it is going to be a very disappointing recovery in that economy.
Koketso, thank you so much for your time this evening. That is Koketso Mano, who is a senior economist at FNB.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.